Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Welcome back. I mean, that was going to be the emphasis for today. We were going to talk about Lincoln Riley.
Yes, that's right.
Then Scott Woodward, as I said, he looked at Mike Bone and said, hold my beer.
Hold this real quick. Got to make a call.
I still call BS, though, on this whole thing going down over about 14 hours. I don't buy that.
At least a couple weeks.
At least a day.
24 hours.
I know, man. I regardless, it's done.
Right.
It's done, and this is big news. Lincoln Riley at Southern Cal is big news, and not just for USC, not just for the Big 12, but football west of the Mississippi. College football playoff now is potentially going to look very different. And I have to think that a lot of people are going to be elevated because when Southern Cal and, you know, UCLA also are relevant,
right,
everything's so much better. We're big on Chip Kelly.
Oh, yeah, and that whole team, absolutely. Rising tide lifts all boats.
Let's see if our guest agrees. He was 2-time All-American tight end at UCLA. He's now an analyst for Fox Sports. Charles Arbuckle, it's been a minute. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I am doing well. I want to get one of these contracts these coaches are getting so I can get kicked to the curb and still get paid for it and just talk to you guys. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Ed Orgeron, man. Ed Orgeron said, I'm not even going to coach the bowl game. I'm going to Destin to chill out. He took his money, said, I'm out.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Oh, give me some Red Bull.
I got some gumbo for y'all, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to Destin and hang out and get in my swim trunks, yeah.
Bring your youngins to practice for the Oklahoma drill. Yeah. Buck,
hey, it is crazy what's going on in college football right now. Crazy.
We've never seen anything like it, and I guess that perfectly tees up my first question for you is, what message did Mike Bone send to the world by reeling in Lincoln Riley?
It's crazy. I'm an old school guy, so a song that just popped in my head when you guys were talking about it was Newbert, Dream Merchant. Hey, hey, Mr. Dream Merchant. Everything depends on you. Well, yeah, hey, hey, Mr. Dream Merchant. Bring SC back to prominence, basically. And it comes to mind because Lincoln Riley, I'm going to tell you guys, I've had the chance to sit down and talk to Lincoln Riley. I've talked to many coaches around him. You know, just how he's been able to, shoot through the stratosphere of his coaching career. But, man, the dude is unbelievable as an X&O guy, and he relates to the young kids, but he has an old soul. And so I think the move for them was – and SC had to do this. SC had gotten away from their DNA. They had gone to Air Raid, which is not SC, didn't make sense. Clay Helton, a great guy, but not a true SC guy. They needed somebody that had a little bit of a dog in them, which you get out of an Oklahoma Sooner coach, but also a guy that's been around coaching forever and can go talk to any quarterback, any mom, any aunt, any grandmother, and make them feel comfortable. Oh, yeah, Dad, you're included, but you're kind of secondary in that recruiting phase. And help them understand how he's going to put them on the field, help them become successful and get to the next level. And you have that with SC. SC has been sitting on that money. They got all the money to spend, and they've updated their facilities. They've really made it a destination place, but they haven't had a good football team. So what you do is you go get a Lincoln Riley, who's the best on X&O guy outside of Ryan Day and maybe a couple others in the game right now, and you get him to California, and you have him compete against Chip Kelly, who I think is still a great offensive play caller, but he needs to get rid of the defensive coordinator, in my opinion. So all of those things take place, and you can now keep those California kids at home, and you get the SC fan base, and you get their alumni behind you. That's a great move for them. I think they did – shots fired, and they did it soon, as soon as they could. Do I like it for college football? No, but I like it for what they were able to do, and they got the best guy that they could in the pool of talent.
You know, Buck, I asked this question earlier. I'd like to get your take. I think this is the product of not only college football becoming a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, but making these coaching changes now is the product of having that early signing period. It's all about getting somebody on board as quickly as you can to salvage that early signing date. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right. I think there's two factors. You have that early signing period, which is asinine. It makes no sense. For the big schools, it's good because they have enough. They have analysts. They have player development guys, and that works for them. But it really doesn't work for anything else other than that, to lock people up sooner so then you can get them in, and maybe they get homesick and they're looking to transfer. The things that I hate about all this stuff is that, first, cost of living adjustment was going to kill college football, right? The second thing was NIL was going to just destroy football. And then thirdly, the transfer portal was going to we weren't going to know the game the way it was anymore. None of that has come to fruition. Those things have changed a ton, but the product on the field is still the product on the field. Guys want to play their hearts and soul out. But when you're giving guys this kind of money and then you say, oh, by the way, the school isn't paying it, but the boosters are, that's the NFL product. That's the product that we see whether I play with the Colts, which was owned by Jim Mr. Irsay, Robert, and then now his son Jim and his family. They're doing the same thing in college football. Don't give me the sham of these guys need to stay amateurs, because that's no longer the case. You're paying these coaches like you're paying in the pros. And let's get this thing organized and stop saying for the good of the game or the loyalty to the game or the tradition. I love college football, but it has totally changed when you are paying guys 10 years and they haven't coached the game, and they were awful when they did coach games. And we're seeing that more and more because you got, a half a million, maybe $600 million that are now being paid out to people that aren't even coaching because of buyouts. It's ridiculous.
Joined by Charles Arbuckle. Follow him on Twitter at Charles Arbuckle. And, Buck, can you see him really, really diving into the transfer portal, trying to get a quick fix or at least a running start at SC? Because you look at what Mel Tucker did at Michigan State, and that got a lot of attention. But also places like Kentucky, where they've been able to dive into the transfer portal and fix some problems, like immediately, specifically at the quarterback position when it came to University of Kentucky. Can you see Lincoln Riley doing that at least year one, diving heavily into the portal?
I think if you do it the right way, and also if you do it where the areas that SC has not been consistent to me, when I think of a USC team, offensive line and defensive line, especially on the offensive line side. When you look at them, it's almost like Texas. Remember when Texas had all those years where they didn't have a draft pick at the O-line position, and then they finally – Connor McWilliams, I think it was, and then they had other guys after that. But SC has to get better up front. They have to have the Tony Baselli's that I think of, or all those guys that you think, Anthony Munoz, the history and the rich tradition of a big physical tackle and guard play, and then all the other stuff happens for them. I think, quite honestly, they're linked to the Samoan kids. The American Samoan kids has also dried up, and that was a strong point for them and UCLA for a long time. You're starting to see those guys go to LSU, go to Alabama, getting away. They're getting away because their families have moved to the States, live in areas like Dallas, Texas, where they can fly back home and work at the airports. It used to be in California. Now you're seeing them across the landscape of college football. I think that's another thing that Lincoln has an advantage in one area of getting back into Texas. SC has always recruited California strong. They've also gone into Texas and other things and been a national recruiting brand, and I think they're going to have to do that. So to answer your question, I think they have to get strong up front. And if I'm their coaching staff, day one, I walk in and I say, transfer portal, who's the guy that I think we can pluck and who's going to fit our system well? And then I'm going to tell you what, some of those guys from Oklahoma that like Lincoln Riley may follow him. I just did a game at Kansas, and Leipold has 6 Buffalo transfers. You get the guys that know your system, that helps you right away for year one and helps those guys that are coming in understand what you need to do.
And, Buck, before we let you go, obviously this is a big deal for Southern Cal, but I have to be of the mind that people in Arizona, people at Oregon State, Cal Berkeley, so on and so forth, they've got to feel pretty good about this, because why Southern Cal is going to, again, presumably, we assume, will again become a power, a force to be to be dealt with. Getting this attention, elevating a team like this has to be good for the Pac-12, has to be good for football west of the Mississippi. What's your take?
I think so. I think the biggest thing is how do you perform when it's time to play against some of these other teams. You've got to play well, and I don't think the Pac-12 has shown itself really well here lately when they played in these playoffs or preseason or pre-conference games. They have to be better there, and I think that's the start of it. And that's why you hire a guy like Lincoln Riley, because you think he can help you get better in all phases and get you back to that point.
You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Arbuckle. Buck, buddy, been great to catch up, man. Let's do it again soon.
All right, man. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's Charles Arbuckle, two-time All-American, UCLA,
yeah.
Now an analyst for Fox.